Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whosoever wants to be my disciple," it was a blanket request or invitation, "whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." There's three things that he talks about that we're going to begin to unpack tonight, that you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Somebody say, "I'm not just a fan, I'm a follower." Praise God. You may be seated. We've talked about the fans being an exuberant, an enthusiastic devotee or admirer. There's a lot of admirers that admire Jesus. This past Sunday, and I was really nice to our Easter crowd, and I told you, if you were here at 11 a.m., that I cautioned and encouraged some of my pastor peers, most of them are younger than me, don't joke about the Easter attenders on Easter. You should be glad that they're there, praise God. And if you make fun of them, the only time they show up, they're probably not going to keep showing up. But now that the Easter crowd is gone, we can talk about a lot of them were fans of Jesus. A lot of them, they hoorahed and rah-rahed Jesus getting out of the grave on Sunday, but now it's like he has gone back in the grave on Wednesday. It's life back to normal. However, for those of us in this room and online tonight, when you meet a resurrected Jesus, you never go back to how it was. Because not only did he come back to life, he is alive, and that same spirit is alive in us. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we're not just fans, we are followers. We are devoted to God, not just as an admirer, but we are devoted in our following in regard to the ideas or beliefs. A disciple, my definition would be a disciplined, believing follower of Jesus Christ. A person, we'll get to this in just a moment, who imitates Christ more than a bracelet, more than just saying what would Jesus do, but literally every part of our life, our actions and our reactions literally are what Jesus would do, what he would say, how he would act, how he would react in situations. A lot of times our reactions are wrong, but God has called us many times not to react, but how we act. And if we fail to act, we will always be on the defensive, which means we will always react. Sometimes our reactions are not the right things because God didn't call us to react in those situations. He called us to make the first move, which is an action move, praise God. So one who imitates, one who copies, one who takes as a model or an idea, an ideal, that is a follower. We've talked about the cultural fans, the social fans, the super fans, the fair weather fans, the casual fans, and the lover of the game fans. Last session, we talked that Jesus gives us two, in back-to-back chapters in John, he gives us two defining statements on discipleship. John 13, verse 35, "By this everyone," Jesus said, "will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Some of us say that we love Jesus, but we fail to love one another. The Bible says, "I find it hard to believe that you can love a God who you have not seen, and you say that you love you hate a brother that you do see." Can I encourage you that we ought to love people to the cross? We should not send them to hell. We should not come against them. We should not. Now, I'm not saying that we should not point out sin, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't inspect fruit, but what I'm saying is something Mandy told me years and years ago. She said it is so much easier to love people to the cross of Christ than it is to force people to the cross of Christ. So Jesus said how you love one another is a defining moment or definition on whether you are a disciple, how we love each other. Then it would go on to say in the next chapter, chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will do what I say." So number one, how we love each other shows our discipleship. Number two, how we obey him. Love and obedience go hand in hand in the disciple's life. You know what? One of the things I love about Wednesday night is that I know on Sundays we have a choice, but there's a lot of traditional attendance on Sunday. Wednesday, the tradition has been broken for people to go to the house of God, but here we are tonight. Why are we here tonight? We are here tonight for many reasons, but I believe we are here tonight first and foremost is we have a love for God that a lot of people do not have. We remember what God has done for us. We remember what God has done in us, and we remember that there is an unconditional loving God that in spite of all that we did, in spite of all the problems that even now we have, still loves us. And so love has drawn us here tonight, but obedience has also drawn us here tonight because the Bible talks about coming together as the day approaches even more often. So our love and our obedience. But Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, the New Living Translation says it like this: imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Imitate God means more than Wednesday worship and more than Sunday service. Imitating God in everything we do. Everything in the Greek means everything. In the Hebrew, it means everything. It means every word you say, the way you conduct yourself. We talked about actions and reaction. When they cut you off on Loop 410, when they gossip about you at your job, when they're running their mouth at the family reunion, when they kick you out of the family group text. Come on, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. When they send you the wrong text and it's about you, but they meant to send it to someone else. When you're on the mountaintop, when you're in the valley, he said, in everything you do, imitate God, which means more than a wristband, more than a t-shirt slogan. Many times in our life, we should slow our roll, take a step back and say, God, what would you do in this situation? Because I want to imitate you in every way possible. Christian doesn't mean just Christ follower, it means Christ-like. There's many times in the Word of God you can see exactly how Jesus would react or what Jesus would do, but there are many times in 2023 when you're going to have to step back and pray a little bit about it, let the Holy Spirit lead and give you some discernment because you don't want to act in a way that would not be befitting for someone who is a follower of Jesus. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do because you are his dear children. Mario said it just a little while ago, talking about providing for his four-year-old son. Can I just bless somebody with this news and maybe this reminder tonight? It doesn't matter if you are 95 years old in the building, you are still a child of the Most High and Living God. It doesn't matter if you've been saved for 6 decades or 6 days. If you've said yes to Jesus and you've accepted him as your Savior, you are now a child of God. Isn't it awesome that doesn't matter how long you've been living for God, doesn't matter what your numerical age is, you are always going to be a child of God. That means you've always got a father who is always looking out for your best. You always have a father who will love you unconditionally. You always have a father who will chastise you and rebuke you and train you and spank you and me when we need it. Y'all remember when you used to get whipped, and hopefully you did get whipped. There's a lot of people who don't get whipped, and it shows. But I remember when my parents would say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I wanted to scream, liar! But I was already in hot water because I was already getting whipped. There's no way that this can hurt you, but it hurts to chastise when you love the one you chastise. But I'm so glad that I've got a loving God that when I get off track, he gets me right back on track. And when I do something, he punishes me not as the world would punish you, but he punishes me by saying, hey, let's not do that again, and gets me back in line. Remember, the shepherd has that staff, and on one end is straight, but on one end it's crooked. Sometimes God's got to jerk us back in line. Another time he might have to rebuke and reprove and chastise us, but remember, we are his children, and because we are his children, there is benefits that come with being a child of God. Verse 2, here it is again. Live a life filled with love. There that word is again, love. Remember, Jesus said, as you love one another, you will show that you are my disciple. Following the example of Christ. Here it is again, obedience. The second one, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. John 3:16, remember, says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what God gave me. God loved, so he sent his son. God loved, so he sacrificed his son. Jesus loved, so he stayed. He stayed when he didn't have to stay. Remember what the enemy was trying to get Jesus to do? Call down 10,000 angels. Call your angels to come and feed you. Call your angels to come and save you. Jesus in Gethsemane prayed so hard about the will of the Father and the task that was in front of him that he literally had blood vessels break in his eyes and in his forehead, and he sweated blood, but he loved you enough that he stayed. God loved us because he sent Jesus. God loved us because he sacrificed Jesus. But Jesus loved us and he stayed. And then Jesus loved us that he sacrificed his life. So how do we show our love back? We sacrifice our life. Can we put Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? I can fit this scripture into any series that I'm doing. Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I always preach this verse out of the King James Version, because any version that I read, any other translation, I like the NLT, I like the ESV, I like the NIV, I like those versions, but I always compare them to the original text of the King James Version. And the reason I love the King James Version, the reason that I will only preach this verse out of the King James Version, is every other translation of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it says you present your bodies a living sacrifice, they put one word, two letters in there, as a living sacrifice. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, no, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means that we have to crucify our flesh every day. If you are going to be a follower of Jesus, it's not enough just to come and say, yes, Jesus, in an altar on Sunday, and then go and live like hell for the rest of your life. And I know a lot of preachers are preaching that. Once saved, always saved. I'm talking about not him just becoming your Savior. I'm talking about him becoming your Lord. You don't have to be a follower for him to be Savior. But if you are going to make him Lord, you've got to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And to be a follower, it is going to take sacrifice. Somebody say amen. That's tough to say amen to. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not as, but a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. The only way that our life becomes holy and acceptable to God. Yes, your life, my life, our dirty life, our messed up life, our sin-filled life, all of those things before Christ. The only way that it becomes an acceptable sacrifice is that we are, the only way that it becomes holy and acceptable is that we make a sacrifice and we sacrifice our living body and be not conformed to this world, because you cannot sacrifice your life if you're conformed to the world. It cannot be a sacrifice that looks like the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let's talk about sacrifice. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. And I'm going to break some things down on discipleship that I've never heard anyone else say, but I think it needs to be said in 2023 as loud as we possibly can. Jesus called the crowd to him, our original text, along with his disciples. Two types of people God calls into this moment with him. He calls the crowd. This crowd is not following him. This crowd doesn't necessarily even believe. This crowd has come to see signs and wonders. He has opened some eyes. He has opened some ears. He's brought back the dead to life. He's walked on water. He's done all of these great things. And so some of these people are treating Jesus like he's the circus. They've come for a show. But there's also people in the mix that are disciples that are literally following Jesus in this moment. He calls the crowd, number one. He calls disciples, number two. And he says, I want you to come in because I have something to say. Whoever wants to be my disciple, I love this. I love how the Word of God breaks this down. He says to those that are not actively following and believing in who he is, if you want to be my disciples, this is what you have to do. I can get with that. I'm for that. That's what we do every day. We are literally calling to people that don't know Jesus and say, hey, you need to come meet the Jesus that I know. You need to come encounter the Jesus that transformed my life. That's what we are doing to the crowds. But this is what I find just so, it's offensive to me. God calls his disciples and says, now, if you really want to be a disciple, that in my flesh, that's offensive. I am a disciple. Jesus said, I know you've got the title of disciple, but if you want to be a real disciple, oh, that hurts. Now, Peter, I know you've been telling everybody your title, but if you want to be a disciple, not by title, but literally with your life, here are the three things you must do. So if I can encourage people in the room and online tonight, it is not about a title. I know people who call themselves pastors that are no more pastors than people out on the streets. I know people that have given themselves the title of apostles and bishops and prophet and psalmist, and they couldn't find Jesus with two search warrants. It's not what you call me. Check this out. It's not what I call me. It's what he calls me. That's why, you'll get it. You'll get it on the replay when you watch this back tomorrow. You calling me disciple doesn't make me a disciple. Me calling myself a disciple doesn't make me a disciple. I need to hear Jesus call me a disciple. You say, why does it matter what Jesus calls you? Because at the end of all of this, church, and this is going to bless somebody, we are going to want to hear one phrase from Jesus. And it's not about what he did, and it's not about what he's going to do. We want to hear him call us a certain word. We want to stand before God at the end of our life and hear him say, well done, thou good and faith-filled servant. Well done, thou good and faithful disciple, follower of Christ, Christian, believer. Well done. I want to hear what Jesus calls me. Well, I'm a disciple. God's saying, liar. You don't live like a disciple. You don't talk like a disciple. Oh, I know you can put it on for 90 minutes at church. And I know you can pray real hard when you need something. But I need to know, are you willing to sacrifice everything you have to follow me? Remember, you cannot just count the cost. You have to be able to say, God, whatever it separates me from, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Whoever it takes me from and whoever it puts me with, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. If everybody backs out on this trip tomorrow, I'm following you, Jesus. If everybody comes against me next week, I'm following you, Jesus. Not what you say. Not what I say. What does he say? He calls disciples to him and says, if you really want to be disciples, I thought I was a disciple. No. If you really want to be a disciple, you must, check out what he says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. This is why I gave that kind of at the beginning. I let you know that we might have to go one more week, because as I was praying about this the last couple weeks, I knew that this was going to be a difficult one to get past because it's so rich. This is what he said. The first thing that you have to do if you're going to be a disciple is you have to deny yourself. If you don't have to deny yourself to follow Jesus, you're not being real with yourself. Your relationship with God should have to cost you something. That is what David said when the man of God said, well, I'll just give you this piece of land. And David said, no, I'm going to buy it from you because I will not offer something to God that did not cost me something. He says it should have to cost me something. I shouldn't just be able to walk into it and everything stay the same. Come on, some of you know that when you said yes to Jesus, your friends changed, your squad changed. When you said yes to Jesus, your hobbies changed. When you said yes to Jesus, your music changed, your movies changed, the way you made your money changed, the way you worship changed, the way you approached God changed, the way you came to church changed. All of that changed. It's called sacrifice. Deny yourselves. This is where it gets tough for 2023 and woke Christians and so-called woke pastors to hear this. Denying yourself is why Jesus came to this earth to show us it is possible to deny yourself if you are filled with the Spirit of God. You cannot deny your flesh without the Spirit of God working on you, working in you, coming from you, coming at you, sitting on you, holding you up. You've got to have the Spirit of God. If I encourage you, go back and listen to Bishop's series about the anointing that he's been preaching on Sunday mornings. Jesus said, I am anointed to do all of these things. When Jesus came to this earth, all God but all man, he was proving a point saying, when you've got my Spirit, you can be tempted at every point, but just like I didn't succumb to the temptation, you don't have to either. Pastor, it's going to be hard for me to deny myself. Oh, it's definitely going to be hard for you to deny yourself, but you know what makes it possible but not easy? The Spirit of God in you, on you, and working around you. This is where it gets difficult. Deny yourself. How many married folks do we have in the building today? Raise your hand. When you said yes to that man or you said yes to that woman, you sacrificed something, or you should have sacrificed something. You sacrificed self. You sacrificed what you want. You sacrificed how you think. I'm going somewhere with this. You sacrificed all of the options that you had. You now say, none of those matter. I am committed to you and only you for the rest of my life, better or worse, sick in health, poor or rich, whatever comes our way, I am committed to you. Where are you going with this, Pastor? There is an entire part of society now that says that they were born a certain way, and that they love the same sex, and sexuality has been manipulated and twisted. And I've heard people argue the point that I was born this way, which I always say, well, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity too. That's why the Bible says when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. See, it doesn't matter if you're heterosexual, homosexual, doesn't matter if you're LGBTQ+, doesn't matter what you identify as. We were all born in sin, and we all need a Savior named Jesus. We all need to accept him. We all need to be washed in his blood. So it doesn't matter how you were born. I don't need to talk to you about how you were born and what you came into this world as or what you want to be identified as. I need to let you know none of that matters in the presence of God, because we've got to crucify who we were to become what God has called and created us to be. So I hear the argument. So if God does not want me to live this type of lifestyle, am I supposed to suppress these feelings? Yes, you are. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Just because you get married doesn't mean that lust quits. Or maybe I'll just talk about me. When I said I do to Mandy, that doesn't mean that temptation to step outside of marriage ceased. Oh, come on, somebody. It doesn't mean that the option's not there. Doesn't mean that sometimes the desire's not there. Now listen, I don't put myself in those positions where it's readily available, but every day of my life, I have to remember I made a vow to her, and so I say no to the feelings of the flesh. I crucify them. I suppress them. I let the Holy Ghost work in me, and I don't say yes to the flesh. I say yes to my commitment and my covenant. covenant to my wife. Now, if I could just get that point across to all the progressives and the woke people in the world. I know you say you love Jesus and you're gay. Well, I love Jesus and I was a crazy heterosexual. I know you like to say I love Jesus, but I like to smoke a little bit. But I love Jesus, and listen, he can give you the power to put it down. Sacrifice. I want to smoke, but I'm denying myself because I'm a follower of Jesus. That woman looks fine, but I'm married to her and I'm a follower of Jesus. I know I'd like to take a couple shots, but I'm going to deny my flesh, crucify my flesh, because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that temptation's not there. It means you're a follower of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that you're going to always have a perfect day in front of you. It means you're a follower of Jesus Christ. When temptation comes, remember the Spirit of God is in you and you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Deny yourself. But I want it, so deny yourself. Temptation, it's always there. Can I talk to you about the humanity of Jesus Christ? He wasn't just tempted before his ministry. He was tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane hours before the crucifixion. He said, my flesh, I don't want to do this. But Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Come on, follower. A follower says, not my will, but your will. Oh, I want that flesh so bad, but not my will, your will. Oh, I want to quit so bad. Not my will, but your will. Oh, I feel like backsliding today. Not my will, but your will. Deny your flesh. When you deny your flesh, listen to this, church. I'm almost done. I think I'm out of time. When you deny your flesh, you pick up the right thing. When you do not deny your flesh, let's talk about this. Deny your flesh, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Let's say what's not being said. Deny your spirit, pick up your flesh, and don't follow me. Deny yourself, pick up your cross. Deny the spirit, pick up your flesh. If you do not deny yourself, don't be surprised by what shows up in your hand. If you do not deny yourself, I'm talking to followers tonight. If you do not deny yourself, don't be surprised what you find in your house. If you do not deny yourself, don't be surprised what you find in your mind. If you do not deny yourself, don't be surprised what you find in your marriage. If you do not deny yourself, don't be surprised what you find in your children. But when I deny myself, I find that I pick up the right thing. And when I pick up the right thing, denying self, picking up my cross. Here's the thing. I can't help you with your cross. You can't help me with my cross. My cross is my weight to carry. But you know what I can do? I can cheer you on. I can say, I know it's heavy, but keep following. I know the struggle is real, but keep walking it out. I know that you've been clean and sober now for 16 days, and it's been a long 16 days, but hey, let's put another 16 days together. Let's make it a month. Let's put 12 of those bad boys together. Let's make it a year. Let's put 10 of those together. Let's make it a decade. I can cheer you on. I can encourage you, and then I can also show you, hey, I'm carrying one too. I don't ever want to preach to people that think my life's perfect. I don't want to ever preach to people and tell them to do something that I'm not willing to do. Every day of my life, I am carrying the cross that God has given me, and it gets heavy, but it is so worth it, because while I'm carrying the cross, I find I have nothing else in my life. I have no time in my life for anything else. My hands are on my cross. I can't carry the cares of this world. I am so concerned with denying myself, picking up what God has placed in my life, and following him. Deny self. Deny self. I hope you've got that revelation, because it is the greatest, and I dare use the word argument, it is the greatest stance for us as believers when they start talking to us about LGBTQ+, same-sex marriage. When they start talking about these things, that I was born this way. I know Lady Gaga thinks that she really wrote that song. David wrote that lyric before she ever was born. He said, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He said, I was born this way, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Every day of your life, deny yourself. You're hooked on pornography. You got to deny yourself every day. Can I encourage you? Get rid of your smartphone. Go back to a flip phone. People are chuckling. I'm serious. 10 years ago, one of the young people came to me, said, Pastor Brandon, I'm addicted to pornography. It's all day, every day. It's at school. It's at home. It's on the school bus. I'm addicted. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, here's what you do. Get rid of your smartphone. I can't do that. Yes, you can. I talked a 15-year-old kid into getting a flip phone. That dude had a flip phone for 6 or 7 years. But you know what he found out? He could deny himself. And when he denied himself, he found out, I can pick up my cross. And now I find it easier to follow Jesus when I've denied myself, the Spirit is moving, and I am consumed with the cross that God has called me to carry. Stand on your feet. Deny yourself. Self-denial is tough, y'all. It's tough. I've beat a lot of personal addictions through denying self. It's not Brandon's power. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has broke more addiction in my life. It's so much more than speaking in tongues, church. The Holy Spirit helps me deny myself. Oh, this cross is heavy today. Sometimes that cross is light. Sometimes it's heavy. Sometimes I'm carrying it. Sometimes I'm dragging it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever pray those prayers that aren't eloquent? You're just like, Holy Ghost, you better get your boy today. Because I feel like quitting. I feel like cussing everybody out. I feel like running them off the road. I'm talking to some men that you've got some stuff going on. Oh, man, I'm not even going to get in. I'm going to wait till we get to Palacios to deal with the men. I remember Bishop Jake said this, and man, it was at a men's conference, and it resonated with so many men. He said, there's a lot of men who love their job, but he said they hate their life. He said they drive home, they pull in the driveway. He said they sit there for 15 minutes, got to psych themselves up to go into their wife and their kids. So what are you talking about? They don't want to pick up the cross. I want to help you as a follower deny flesh. We're going to end next week going through the rest of Mark chapter 8. Talks about what good is it to gain the world and lose your soul. If you do not deny yourself, you'll pick up and hold and handle the wrong things. I want to open this altar right now to people that are ready to deny themselves at a rate that you never have before. That's what fasting is, prayer and fasting. Fasting is denial of the flesh. Maybe you're in a place where you're saying, God, these last 4 months coming into this year, I made some promises. I've been good on those promises, God. I've been denying myself. But God, I'm ready to pick up the cross. I've been handling the wrong things. I'm ready to let go. I'm ready to drop what is not of you. I'm ready to lay it down, laying down weights and sins, laying down the wrong thing so I can pick up the right thing, church. I feel that so strong. Help us deny ourselves, oh Jesus. so that we can pick up the right thing and quit carrying the wrong thing.